Bill Henry Show here, and welcome to the Henry Broadcast Center. That's what Ted Bell and Steve Bozell were calling it during our pro football game of the week yesterday. Welcome here to the El Pacifico, and back from vacation. And in point of fact, we were supposed to go to Orlando for the National Association of Broadcasters. I couldn't do that because not only did I get some kind of flu, then I made the mistake of going out and getting a flu shot because I always get a flu shot.
Did you do that because you had the flu?
No, I didn't do it because I had the flu. No, I didn't do it because I had the flu. I always get a flu shot, but it reminded me that I needed a flu shot. Apparently, you're not supposed to do that. So I wound up getting pretty sick from the flu shot, which I realize is going to give people an excuse now who are listening to me to say, well, I'm not going to get it. See, that's exactly why I'm not going to get a flu shot. Because of that. And I would say to you, fine, it doesn't matter to me. The only problem is that when people at the level of mom, you know, when they don't get shots for the kid, when they are talking all of that garbage about how it causes autism and all of that other mental deficiency that is rampant among some segments and sectors of our mothers today, and then their kid goes to school not having been immunized, and the kid becomes a carrier for these different viruses, and then they infect others. You know how it goes. So thank you very much for that. But at the level that I'm at right now, which is a bunch of old people getting flu shots, I don't care how many of them die. I realize that sounds kind of cruel. I don't mean that the way it sounds, but you know.
Well, what do you talk about?
Well, what I mean is you're old enough to know. Let me put it that way. You know, I'm not going to get a flu shot because look at the stuff. Look at, you know what it is? It comes down to this. It comes down to the fact, because I happen to know this for a fact, and don't kid me, it isn't that people are afraid of, they don't want to get it because of the autism, because of this, that, something else. Grown men and women are afraid of getting shots because they don't like needles, because they're scared.
No, Phil, that's...
No, Phil, that's what?
That's kind of, you tell everybody a baby?
Yes, I am. I'm saying everyone's a baby, yeah.
Are you telling me that there are people that would risk that? No.
Look, I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. Some people are so afraid of getting shots. I know of a woman who told me that when she got married, this was back when the state of California required a blood test before you could get married. I don't know what that was for, but maybe it has something to do with don't marry your sister, you know?
Get out of here. Are you nuts or something?
I swear to God, I think that that's...
So you're saying the state of California required a blood test in case you were marrying your sister. Do you think this is Mississippi?
I got news for you, Margaret, because I learned this when I was in college. California maybe still does with this, but I was in college a long time ago. But at that time, I heard something from my college professor that floored me because I thought I lived in a really progressive state, just as you think. I found out that California had the highest incidence of incest than any state in the union. And I was floored. I'm telling you, I was not that bright. I was an 18-year-old college freshman. I was about as dumb as they get. But still, you know, I didn't think I was. And I thought I was living in California. Of course, the incest, that's something that you do in Alabama. I had no idea, which I think shows you two things. It shows you how really sheltered and stupid I was to the ways of the world. And secondly, the fact that... that kind of hillbilly behavior, what we would like to comically call hillbilly behavior, was more rampant in California. And we're talking per capita than anywhere in the Deep South. So that was, you know, and so you're telling me you think California requiring a blood test to make sure that a guy isn't marrying his sister is weird. I got news for you.
Well, I've got to see these facts and figures because that, what you're doing now is you're slandering the state. You know.
Wait, how am I slandering the state?
You're saying California? Yeah, right. Now, how do you say that?
Because I just told you I said it, didn't I? Didn't I just say it and I backed it up? I backed it up with a college professor.
A college professor where?
At Pasadena City College, okay?
Aha. Uh-huh. Right there, guys. You see that?
Yeah, that's nothing but a JC. And you never said nothing about it.
I don't care if it's a JC or not. I was taking an anthropology class from the professor, and he talked about it, and I believe it, And and the thing that I appreciated about this particular class was because it was dealing in these kinds of hard facts and figures that I had nothing that I had no idea of, I had no conception of. And anthropology is a great science, and it's something that I encourage anybody listening who is of college age or is in high school, and you don't really know what you want to take, but you are interested sort of in the history of man and culture, and that anthropology is fantastic because it gets into that kind of stuff. It gets into those kinds of modern day statistics and how does the human being behave.
Well, I think, you know, Phil, you can go off onto these little lectures and they're all well and good.
Well, hold on, Margaret. I'm not doing a lecture here.
No, I know that, but you fall in love with the sound of your own voice sometimes, and it gets to be very, you know, Bud?
Yeah, it gets kind of grating on the nerves.
Oh, shut up. Let me tell you something. If you don't like it, take a powder, okay?
Oh, well, okay, Moon Mullins. Take a powder.
What is it, man, like 1922?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't like it, F off. How about that?
F off. Why don't you just say the word?
Hey, Margaret, I got news for you. What I'm saying is true. If you don't like it, if you think it's slandering the state of California as being a hillbilly state, that's tough. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There are more hillbillies out here than anywhere I've ever been, man. I'm telling you, I bet you there's sectors.
You can't even talk. You're so full. You're lying so much, you're going blah, 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 blah.
You're strangling on your own lies, Phil.
No. I bet you there are some segments of this state where there are one-eyed people living from the inbreeding.
What?
You just heard me right.
That is a slanderous, grotesque thing to say.
You heard me right.
Mr. Lambert, you really willing to back that up in an interview with a newspaper and everything like that?
You get the newspaper in here, I'll say it.
You just said you think that there are areas where one-eyed people in this state are segregated away from the mainstream.
I didn't say segregated. I said I'll bet you that there are some subcultures of inbred people who have only one eye and fins for hands living in caves.
Are you kidding me or something?
Oh, will you shut up? Yes, I'm kidding.
Then you are kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding. First of all, I hate to break the news. Inbreeding doesn't necessarily mean the kid's going to come out, you know,
messed up.
Yeah.
Well, now you're really pissing me off.
Wait a minute. Why does it piss you off?
Well, what is going to keep someone from it?
What's going to keep someone from wanting to have sex with their sister? Oh my God.
Don't you dare start saying things about me.
Well, wait a minute now. You said what's going to keep someone from having sex with their sister unless they know the kid's going to come out with birth defects? Are you saying that that's the only thing that stands between a man and his sister? Is that what you're saying?
Ms. Emma, I think you hit the nail on the head.
I'd like to know what the scientific analysis of this would be. And I'd love to hear from Dr. Tarner, Dr. Sadler.
Got Bobby Dooley is agreeing with Margaret.
Bobby Dooley on the line?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Get them all lined up here. We'll be back. We're going to take a break, our first break here. Back from a week of vacation. We'll give you a little more fill-in on that. I hope you guys have been well. It's great to be with you. A big, big thanks to our sponsors, to our affiliates, to our listeners, to all of our subscribers at PhilHenryShow.com. If you're watching the show right now on PhilHenryShow.com, then you know you have a backstage pass. And we still have the largest repository of any radio show anywhere in the world. We have more radio shows in our archives going back many, many years, 5,000 hours, than any other radio show on earth. I dare anybody else to prove me wrong. And, of course, I wish all of my contemporaries and all my colleagues a very, very successful run. All right, our number here on the Phil Henry Show is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. And we have a brand new podcast that is out today. It is a free podcast, so check it out. It's episode 243. It's Steve Bozell as he talks about his son playing Halo with his son, right, Bud?
Yeah, plays Halo with his son. His son beat him. He beat up his kid.
All right, he beats his kid up. So it slaps, man. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Nice to be with you guys after our week off. Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman here with me. We also have Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association and the Western States PTO on the line with us. And we're going to get with Dr. Ron Tarner, probably Dr. Jim Sadler and a few others. We have, or at least we did have, a master list on our computer of people that have been guests, have been experts, and people we can call on when we need to speak to them. And I have completely lost that, Bud. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I think they lost when they changed it.
They lost it when they what?
When they changed computers.
Oh, that's nice. See, when you put a new computer in...
You already yelled at people about this. You have to do it again.
What do you mean I already yelled at people about it?
You already went ballistic about this. Do you have to do it on the air now?
Yes, I do.
Well...
Yes, I do. There, I just went ballistic.
Well, Phil, you said that whoever got rid of that list...
Yeah, whoever got rid of that list was a Dumkopf.
Right, well, he still works here.
Thank you, Bud.
Am I Bud?
No, I looked at him and I said, thank you, Bud.
Yeah, because I'm the one, not you.
Well, when you said thank you, Bud, people thought you were talking...
They thought I was talking to you? Wow.
No, don't give me the...
Bobby Dooley joining us here from the Western Estates PTO, where they've just wrapped up a meeting. And I welcome you, Bobby, to the program. You are in agreement with Margaret on this question of California and the kind of hit that it takes in terms of image when we bring up things like blood tests, marrying sisters, etc.?
Well, I do, Phil, and the reason is because I don't think that it is necessary. I think what you have is a statistic, yes. You have a medical practice. Your friend, you mentioned, did not want to have his blood drawn because he was afraid of needles. Is that correct?
Well, no, this was the husband of a friend of mine.
The husband of a friend of yours. So your friend was female. Is that correct?
Yes.
You know, Bobby, to anticipate your... You've got a lot of friends that are women, don't you?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, I think, first of all, Phil, we've got to point that out, that she was married.
No. I didn't even know her before that. I didn't know her when... No.
You didn't know her before that?
I didn't know her when she was married to this... Don't change the subject, okay? I find that very unseemly. It has nothing to do with anything. Yeah, I've got female friends. So what?
Well, you've got an awful lot of them, and I think it darkens, it stains your side of the argument. That's all.
Phil, what it does is this.
Go ahead.
Well, don't look at me like I'm some kind of a mutant.
I'm looking at you. I'm waiting for what you're going to say.
Margaret, he does this to me, too.
Yeah. What I was going to say is...
Wait, hold on. What do I do to you?
You look at me as if I am some kind of a fungus growing on a rock. When I have...
No, I don't.
When I have a different opinion from you. Yes, you do, Phil.
All right, go ahead, Margaret, and tell me what you want to say, and I'll keep my mouth shut.
I'm going to say that you are, I believe, engaging in an unusual level of female friendships for a single man. And I don't think there's anything wrong... Well, the jury's out on whether that's okay or not.
Oh, well, the jury's out, huh?
Yeah, the jury's out.
The jury is out on whether the... I didn't ask you, Bud. I didn't ask you at all. In fact, I'm not even looking at you. You can see I'm addressing you, but I'm not looking at you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, this has nothing to do with what we were going to talk about, whether I have a lot of female friends or not, okay? And I really resent the inference that there was something improper. I didn't know that lady when she was married to this guy. She told me this story long after they were divorced, okay? This was a husband of hers.
It was a husband of hers. Among her, how many? God.
You're really not making this woman look very good, Phil.
All right. It was a husband, her first husband. She only had two, and I wasn't one of them. And no, I didn't know her when she was married. And she said that before they got married, her and her husband, he decided that he wanted to get married in Las Vegas because he did not want to get married in California because they required a blood test, because the blood test, they had to draw your blood with a needle. He was afraid of needles.
Are you absolutely sure of that?
I'm absolutely sure of it. She was laughing about it. We were laughing about it because we were talking about getting shots. And I was talking to her about how when I was a kid, it scared me. I was very much afraid of needles as a kid. And somewhere along the line, I just told myself, I'm not going to be able to get away from it. These adults keep wanting to stick needles into me, and I don't know why, and I hate it, and I don't care if I get polio. I don't want it, but I'm going to have to endure it. So somehow, some way, I just figured a way to defeat it.
What'd you do?
The first thing I did was what the adults told me to do, was hold my breath, and that didn't help at all.
What was that supposed to do?
Well, it was supposed to... I think the adults said, hold your breath and it won't hurt. Well, yeah, it did hurt, because as soon as the needle would go, I would go, and then it would hurt. So that, screw that. And then finally, I just decided to know that it was going to hurt, and there was nothing I could do about it. I could scream and cry. I could run. And I stopped doing that when I was 23.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding.
I'm sure you're going to run down the hall when you're 23.
I'm kidding. You can scream and cry and do that. And yeah, that's not going to help, because you're going to get the shot, whether you like it or not. So I think finally what I wound up doing was I would just stare right at the needle as it went in and broke the flesh.
Get out of here, man. You did that? Get. That's the thing that makes me sick.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. Not even Frank has guts like that.
I did. What do you mean, guts? That's just what I did. I would just look right at the needle, especially when they draw blood. I would just directly look straight at it, and I would watch as the blood...
Come on, listen, I'm going to get sick.
Look at Robert, man. He is getting sick.
Robert.
Go. You better get out and get him some water, bud.
Come on, Robert. I'll help you get a greasy corned beef sandwich. Shut up, man.
All right, Bobby, let's get back to what it was we were going to talk about here.
I mean, I think what we're talking about, Phil, it's all the same thing. I think when you talk about the state of California, which has been through quite a lot in terms of the financial crisis of this state, the mismanagement and I think misleadership of our governors, the fact that the state has endured every kind of infrastructural problem from droughts to the power problems and the power blackouts and brownouts that we've had, to the enormous brush fires and forest fires that we've dealt with over the last 10 to 12 years, and then to heap upon California the reputation of a state where incest is de rigueur, and where the marrying of your sister, or whatever it was that you were saying, the sort of interfamily marriage is commonplace, I think is more than the state deserves, and I think it's more than it can bear. And I would ask you, on behalf of millions of Californians looking to crawl out from underneath the wreckage of all of these problems that we've had, if you could please mitigate and temper your comments. You are a son of California. You're born and raised here, and one would think you would have more sensitivity to the problem.
I don't recognize anything that you're saying.
Why not?
Because I don't recognize any of it as making any sense. I think it's nonsensical.
I'm sorry?
I think it's nonsensical to say that California has taken a major public relations hit because the rate of incest in this state is higher than some southern states, and because we used to have blood tests to make sure that you weren't marrying your sister. Look, I think it's unrealistic on your part, if you don't mind me saying, to think that California would be any different than any other state when it came to normal social problems. Now, especially with the population we have.
Well, you're saying because of the population of the state of California.
Excuse me, Margaret, can I do this because I'm the guest?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go on. Go on, Bobby.
Well, she sounded all resentful and childlike.
I'm not resentful and childlike.
I was going to say that California, Phil, what you're saying is that because California has a high population, that we're going to tend to have more of these social problems. And I'm saying that because of the high level of intelligence that our population has, it flattens down the weirdness. And I'm sorry if I don't have the right terminology here, but...
Well, it flattens down the aberrant?
Yes, the aberrant behavioral manifestations you were talking about.
All right, but still, we're not talking realistically here about the thing I want to talk about, and that is California taking some big hit in terms of public relations. What does that mean exactly? What does that mean? Does that mean that we, as a state, used to be viewed as one that didn't have incest?
I don't think people thought of incest when they thought of California, no.
And I don't think people thought of marrying your sister, and no one thought about, the kind of, if you will, hillbilly behavior that you would think of other states having.
All right. Hang on the line, Bobby Dooley and Margaret. Thank you. We'll be right back here as we continue to discuss here, based upon just a couple of observations of mine having to do with the state of California and anthropology and you know, the practices and habits in other states. We're talking with Bobby about the reputation of the state. You know, we just had the Emmys. The Emmy Awards were on TV last night. And every time there's an award ceremony from Hollywood, you always seem to, you know, you have these, you have these wonderful, articles written about Hollywood with the Klieg lights and with the matinee idols and the TV idols and the red carpet.
Spit it out, man.
Yeah, would you get to it, please?
Sorry. So anyway, the public relations hit that California's taking because it has a high rate of incest. I didn't even know that we are taking that kind of a public relations hit. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. I just saw Jenny McCarthy doing one of those...
She's doing one of those smokeless cigarette commercials. I'd much rather see Stephen Dorff for two reasons. First of all, Stephen Dorff is infinitely more talented. Obviously, he's a man. And I think Stephen Dorff pulls it off very, very well.
Yeah, that's the same guy that played a lady, though.
Stephen Dorff's a great actor. He's a great actor. And so he played a lady. So what?
He played a lady?
No, he did not play a lady. He played a cross-dresser in I Shot Andy Warhol. He's played a lot of different things. He's been fantastic in all of them. He's a great actor. Getting back here to our discussion, Bobby Dooley on the line with us.
Excuse me, I'm not done.
About what?
About this McCarthy. Now, I don't have... You said it, Phil. I didn't. You didn't like these women with the shots, you know, the...
Oh, well, she's... Don't get into the autism. Can I...
I'm sorry, you brought it up. Jenny McCarthy is the one that got that whole ball game going. And people should remember, they should remember that when this country is choking to death and strangling on the abscesses in their throats from measles, it's her fault.
Oh, will you come on with that?
God, Dan! Jeez!
I'm sorry. When this country is strangling like there's a new bubonic plague... And people are spitting up pus.
You knock it off. God almighty. I mean, what's the point of that? What are you hoping to achieve with a soliloquy like that?
Jenny McCarthy, that's what... Look at it.
You know, Margaret, I was listening to that, and I almost, for a while there, I thought you and I were of a like mind when you were talking about the hillbillyisms and how California had gone billy.
What do you mean, California gone billy?
Gone billy.
Gone hillbilly. But now...
But what?
Now you are talking about people laying on stone bridges and being thrown onto apple carts, wearing hoods and being thrown into mass graves, as if this is the 14th century, I'll have none of it.
Okay, that was very interesting.
What do you mean?
I mean, that was almost as weird as what she said, which I don't agree with what...
Would you not call me she, please?
I'm sorry, with what Margaret said. Although I don't agree with her, you talking... What? What are you talking about?
Margaret's the one that is trying to send us back to the Middle Ages.
I'm not sending one back to the Middle Ages. I'm saying, would you please look at the reality of this? Look at what Jenny McCarthy... What is she saying? She's saying that if we immunize our children the way... Wait a second. Is she the one that says that we shouldn't or we should?
See, you don't even know what you're talking about. Let's get back to the discussion at hand, which is the billying of California, whatever it was. We have Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in... Actually, Dr. Tarner is on board an aircraft. He's on his way to New York City, where he's going to be joining up with other professionals for a seminar on the Hale-Bopp Comet. Is that correct?
The Hale-Bopp Comet, I can barely...
Can we get... I'm going to have to put Ms. We're going to have to put Ms. Dooley on hold, if you don't mind. I apologize to Ms. Dooley. Please, bud.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley? Yeah.
All right, will you do that in a little bit lower tone of voice? Dr. Ron Tarner on the line. Dr. Tarner, how are you, sir?
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well, thank you.
And you're on your way where? To New York, right?
We are indeed on our way to New York, and you mentioned a seminar at Hale-Bopp. That is exactly correct. We're going to be giving the Dirty Ice Award, which is the Fred Whipple Award, to one of our colleagues.
Now, what does that mean, Dirty Ice?
Well, Dirty Ice was identified by Fred Whipple, who was an astronomer. It sounds like a made-up name, but if people don't believe me, they could, Google it, or...
Google it, yeah.
You can Google it. Fred Whipple was the astronomer who first hypothesized that comets were dirty ice, or that would be a frozen water particles that were picking up debris along the way as they traveled through space at these inordinate amounts of speed, and became what we now know are comets. And of course, these are objects that are orbit. They are orbital. Some of the orbits are elliptical. Some of the orbits are counter to the orbiting of other bodies in space. So we're going to be giving this award to one of our colleagues.
Well, anyway, we thank you for joining us. We're talking about anthropology here tonight, Doctor, and we're discussing California's place in the public perception when it comes to incest. And I think we were talking also with inter-family marriage, things like that. Now, the notion that California is per capita just as backward as any other state has struck a couple of our panelists as wrong, Margaret Gray and Ms. Bobby Dooley, who we do have on hold right now. What is your feeling?
Well, I first of all, I'm on my way to New York to be on a panel with some very esteemed scientists that... I come on the radio with you, and I'm on with Margaret. Allow me to finish what I'm going to say.
Well, I know what you're going to say.
No, you don't. No, you don't. I'm on my way to New York to be on a panel with a steam scientist.
Yeah, you already said that.
Margaret, let the man finish.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. So I'll repeat what I was going to say. I'm on my way to New York because if you keep interrupting me...
Well, I know. We'll have to keep listening to you.
That's right. I'm on my way to New York... Boy, you know, I could be talking to one of the flight attendants here who is absolutely beautiful.
I apologize, Dr. Turner. Go ahead and say you're on your way to New York.
To be on a panel, and instead I'm sitting on the radio with Mrs. Gray and Mrs. Dooley, and forgive me, but the two of them together, I don't think make mentally a good tadpole. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm simply trying to say...
Phil, I want to interrupt. This is Bobby Dooley. I heard what you said. You know, Dr. Turner...
Ms. Dooley, you're the one that was saying that you are... that you did agree with Mr. Hedry until... I forget. It seems you've changed sides.
No, I haven't changed any sides.
I want to say something here, Phil, as long as... And I can't hear a thing with all of that noise.
Well, I'm sorry, but I wanted to come back on here and at least make a statement.
Now I can hear what's going on.
Yeah, we got to keep Ms. Dooley on hold because wherever she is...
Yeah, she's at a PTO meeting.
That's fine, but I understand it. We got to keep her on hold because it's too noisy. Go ahead, Dr. Turner.
Well, wait a minute. I was going to say something.
May I say something? Because he just got me on the phone. Like I said, I could be in first class talking to one of the flight attendants.
And what? And hitting her up for a phone number? This is important.
No, well, yes. If I am not allowed to say what I want to say...
I will moderate. Go ahead, Dr. Turner.
Thank you. California, as you very well pointed out, Phil, is just as susceptible to being a backward state, as you put it, as any other state, given the population... Given its educational, educational standing of its people, the demographics, and so forth, and also the rural areas of this state are far-reaching. There are a great many thousands and thousands of square miles of uninhabited and very remote areas, wooded areas, areas that are concealed from highways, areas that are concealed from roadways, or other areas of excess egress and ingress. Of human beings.
But what about ingress?
Now, what did he say?
What's that, bud?
What's ingress?
What is ingress?
Well, ingress is the opposite of egress. Egress is... It's, you know...
No, what is it?
You know what it is.
leaving.
There you go. It's leaving.
It's leaving? Areas of leaving?
Yes, areas of leaving. And then areas of ingress, which is the opposite, so coming. Coming and leaving. Now, you have these very hidden areas. They're coves, they're caves, they're wooded areas. Some of them are ravines. These are areas where entire populations could live, breed, interbreed, bury their sisters, their mothers. You have no idea. And that's very, very possible in this state.
Well, when you say that there are whole areas... yeah, Margaret?
Well, I was going to ask Dr. Tarner, because an area is in a cave or a cove or off of a highway and it is hidden, are you saying that people can literally go on with lives for generations and no one sees?
No, exactly I'd say that, because who's going to stop? If you're living in a cave or a cove, or let's just say you're living behind a hill that's on a super highway, there's no gas station, there's no motel, there's no exit or
like egress.
No, not egress. There's no exit or what, Phil?
On-ramp?
Yeah, on-ramp.
You know, you really, for a man with education, you don't know a whole... You don't talk too good.
May I finish?
Go ahead.
It's all like... I told you, and I'll say it again, Bargain. Please don't interrupt me. And I'll say it as graphic. There's a real piece of ass up front. And
okay, Dr. Tarner, we got enough with the first-class flight attendant. Could you keep on going?
Wow. I'm saying that if you are behind a hill and you're getting it on with your sister... No one's going to see. Why would they want to? There. I hope I put that as cleanly and as crisply as I could.
Yes, it was very clean and very crisp. The problem with it is this. It doesn't sound very believable.
Why not?
Because it doesn't sound believable. Just because you are in a community of, what, trailers or shacks behind a hill doesn't mean that you will be undiscovered for generations because there's no off...
Because there's no what?
Because there's no off-ramp. I'm sorry, I was...
Oh, she's getting emotional again.
All right, we'll take a break here as Dr. Ron Tarner and Margaret Gray discuss California and its relative place in the overall scheme of things when it comes to lack of education, when it comes to degenerate behavior, when it comes to, in other words, behaviors that for the longest time were attributed to more rural and, dare I say, more southern states. California is right there. As one of the all-time top states when it comes to things like incest, intermarriage, familial intermarriage, and things like that. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Back with Bobby Dooley, Margaret Gray, Ron Tarner, and Dr. Jim Sadler next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 800-855-500-745. Now, Ms. Dooley, back on the line with us, Bobby Dooley. We also have Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us, and Dr. Sadler is a physician. He is, Dr. Sadler is a guy who's just a regular internist from San Diego. We will have him on the phone here in a minute. Ms. Dooley, you're mentioning your husband, Steve, has a little bit of a needle phobia.
Yes, my husband Steve is standing here. Steve has had a problem with needles for a long time. I don't think he's as bad as the lady. Do you mind getting blood tests, honey? I forget.
I don't want it. But I do. I find it.
Steve wants to say something, Phil.
Go ahead.
I think it's bad to say that I'm a baby or something. You know, use the P word.
I never used the P word, sir. I just said that. I can tell you this, as someone who has a phobia of his own, me, I have a fear of heights. So I understand. I believe me, I understand that you can, literally, it's a physical reaction.
Yeah, but I passed out, but that's...
Blowing it, you're blowing it. Give it. Yeah, so Steve, he just said he passed out, and he doesn't have a fear of needles, so I guess that...
Pretty much blows that.
Yes, it does, but... My husband is a man. He's not afraid of anything. He has a fear of needles. But I think all in all...
I don't think you want.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We did ask Dr. Sadler to stop by our place before he was on the air with you.
So Dr. Sadler is at the Homeowners Association right now?
At the Western States Homeowners Association, not just Homeowners Association.
I understand. Dr. Sadler.
Yes, sir. Hi. I'm here with the Dooleys, and I was going to give Mr. Dooley a flu shot. And I'm going to talk him through it, because I do understand, just as you have said, Phil, that there is a phobia. I gave Ms. Dooley the flu shot, and she was fine. Mr. Dooley, are you ready?
I don't care, yeah.
Well, you say you don't care, but you do, don't you?
Well, why are you making him more scared?
I'm not trying to make him more scared, because I don't care. I heard you.
I don't care about it.
You can hear his voice beginning to crack. All right, Jesus. All right, roll up your sleeve, please. Now, just, and this is, I often do this, Phil, to make sure that their courage is really sound. Just pull your pants down a little bit.
What is that about?
It's just something I do. That's it, there you go. Yank the underwear down, too, while you're at it.
What are you trying to pull, anyway?
What is this about, Doctor? Just back off, you know. Don't give me some air. Give me room. I gotta get some air here. All right, thanks.
Now, why are you having him pull his pants down?
To get his mind off of you-know-what. If he's worried about being raped, you see?
What'd you say?
Nothing, I didn't say anything.
Well,
all right, here we go.
Oh, God!
All right, just gave you, how you feel?
I feel great.
You screamed like a woman.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, Steve. Yes, you did. However, he didn't run away.
No, you did not run away.
I didn't scream like a woman.
We have the recording if you want to hear it, Doctor. I mean,
I wouldn't mind hearing it again.
Go ahead.
Oh, God!
That was me?
You bet.
Oh, you sound all happy about it.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just saying that's... But at least you didn't run away or pass out. Were you thinking more about your pants being pulled down?
In a lot of ways, yeah, I was, because I was afraid Dr. Sadler might try something, try and get fresh.
See what I mean? So,
Boy, you know, everything about what you just did, from the flu shot to you being there to the pants, it's all wrong. I don't care if this guy did get a flu shot and didn't run away. He screamed, it just...
What are you trying? Why don't you spit it out, Phil?
You know, everybody's asked me to spit it out tonight. I'd have you guys spit it out. I'm telling you what I'm saying. I'm telling you that I think it's weird to have a guy pull his pants down while you're giving him a flu shot so his mind's off the shot and he's worried more about being raped.
Oh, God, man. Are you talking about jail? I'm just saying I'm trying...
Well, it's your idea, man. You're the guy that brought this whole thing up.
May I say something? I think anything that helped cure my husband of this very embarrassing tendency he had to run out of the doctor's office and then go downstairs and dive into our car and hide underneath the cat blanket, I think is a step in the right direction. And
so that's what your husband would do when he got a shot?
When he was about to get a shot, yeah.
Well, that time I didn't do that time. I feel good about that.
All right, Dr. Sadler, thank you very much. I think that was as good a demonstration as any. What do you think, by the way, Dr. Sadler, of the statistics that we brought up about the state of California?
Well, I mean, could you put that away for me? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I also have Mr. Dooley assisting in putting all this stuff. You can pull your pants up now. God.
Well, I mean, you're the guy.
I am? What do you mean I'm the guy? I told you to pull your pants up.
Oh.
God, Steve, it's almost as if you like having them pulled down.
No, I don't. The doctor told me to pull them down.
All right, I told you to pull them down. You can pull them up now. They gave you the shot. Wow. What about that, Phil?
Well, don't make a big deal out of it. You're the doctor. He doesn't know what's going on. You told him to pull his pants down so he'd think more about being raped than getting a shot.
All right, then I gave him the shot.
Yeah, but he didn't even know he had the shot. He doesn't even remember screaming when he got the shot.
All right, that's at least a step in the right direction, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. What I think is a step in the wrong direction is you, Dr. Sadler. I think your whole life practice, your very existence, is a step in the wrong direction. I thank you.
You know what you are?
So, Dr. Jim Sadler...
Wow, you just found out. You think you'll get him back on as a guest? Think again.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just scared to death that I won't get the great Dr. Jim Sadler back on.
Yeah, that guy's kind of hard to pin down sometimes.
Why? Because he's out giving flu shots until...
Man, don't talk about pulling pants down. That's a technique he's very proud of.
What is that about pulling the pants down so the guy's more worried about getting raped? What is that? Was he ever in jail?
I don't know. Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. I think there's something about that man that's real strange.
Something about him? Everything about that guy is off. All right, well, there's Dr. Jim Sadler. And as far as California goes, yeah, we're just about as backward as any other state. So any of my friends from the South, Southeast, no. This is one guy from California. I know which way the wind blows. I know how backward we are. It's all fine. Speaking of backward, the Emmys were on last night. I'm kidding. No, the Emmy telecast won a bigger audience, and that's funny because I didn't watch it. Not that I got anything against the Emmys, I just didn't watch it. I forget what I was doing. I've been watching football, and I listened to Ted and Steve's ball game, but I did not watch the Emmys, and I don't know why. But it got a third bigger audience than last year, 33%, so exactly one-third, again, as big as last year's audience watched this year's Emmys. And we're going to have Doug Danger on in a moment or two or three or five to talk a little bit about the Emmys and about television in general here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and live, baby, live, you know. And while we have this time, while we have this time together, don't forget PhilHendryShow.com backstage pass. That's right, a backstage pass enables you to watch our video cast each and every night. You can watch me as I sit here and sweat, man. And until things start cooling out, it's just gotta cool out. Better start cooling out. Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com. Good to have you guys with us here as we return from our vacation. We have Doug Danger with us this hour from the Orange County Courier to talk about the Emmys last night. And, everybody wants to talk about the Emmys. Everybody wants to talk about the Oscars. Everybody wants to talk about the Tonys.
What are Tonys?
That's like on a play.
Yeah, the Tonys are like Broadway.
The Tonys are really, if you want to get... The Tonys are the most prestigious... Of all of what?
Prestigious?
Yes, prestigious. That is the, again, if you want me to, it's the French.
Why do you always do the French?
I told you already, bud. Don't keep asking me like you're a redundant. Someone put a bike helmet on him and.
Take it easy, will you, Margaret?
No, I don't want to have to stop down and explain to him things I've already explained.
All right. Okay, it's the French pronunciation. It's the French, huh?
Yes, it's the French, huh? Yes, Phil, it's the French. Prestigious or prestigion, okay? And the Tonys are... See, now I'm self-conscious because now I know all three of you are looking at me like I'm one big ass. And I know that I'm not, and I know...
No, we're not looking at you like that.
Yes, you... What's he looking at?
Well, you are talking about being French and everything.
I know, I didn't say I'm being French. I said the French... God...
She didn't say being... Why don't you just quit making everything into a big display of culture and erudition, Margaret? Just go ahead and say it, okay? If it's French, it's French. Bud, shut up.
Thank you. And excuse me, but you caused this. Now then. Don't wave the...
God, I'm getting the belch smell out of here.
Quit it, will you?
You see how he embarrasses me? And he does it on purpose. He loves it when I belch so he can embarrass me.
Margaret, you got it backwards. You belch, you embarrass yourself.
You guys caused it by asking me about prestigious.
What is that, a dinosaur?
I mean prestigious. The Tony... Oh, may I finish?
Go ahead.
The Tony Awards are Broadway. Do you know what Broadway is? Have you ever heard of Broadway? Do you even conceive? This is where the great stage presentations of our time were created, were displayed, were performed for millions of people. And I was the understudy of Julie Andrews.
Well, here we go with Camelot.
Yeah.
I hope you die with blood in your mouth. I do.
Wow! What a nasty, nasty woman.
Well, then, don't talk on the...
All right, sorry.
And I was the understudy when I sang How to Handle a Woman. You remember that song?
Yeah, and I remember it's sung by a man.
Yeah.
Are you saying... So what are you saying? I'm a man?
No, did you sing that song? Because that's a song sung by a male part. That was sung by Lancelot. He was singing that about Guinevere.
Well, I sang it about Lancelot.
How to Handle a Woman.
Yes. Because Lancelot, if you want the honest truth, was a F-A-G. I gotta get some air.
There she goes.
There she goes. You sound like a little girl, Phil.
Fine. I mean...
I want to get some money. She said she sang a song, How to Handle a Woman, about a Lancelot.
Yeah, she said Lancelot was a F-A-G.
That's right.
Well, all right, so Lancelot, and that's something the audience didn't know, so you came out and you sang How to Handle a Woman about Lancelot, even though you're a woman and he's a man.
That's right. Got that? Anything else I can clear up for you?
No, that's got it. All right, Doug Danger is going to be on the line with us here. I don't understand how that... So thanks a lot for that clarification. Lancelot was a, you know... Lancelot was gay. All right. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can get the download of yesterday's Pro Game of the Week, Steve Bozell and Ted Bell, and what an absolute butcher job they did on that game, which, of course, means it was fantastic. What game was it, Robert?
Well, Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers. Man, they carved it up a new one.
Yeah, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell.
All right, so Ted Bell and Steve Bozell, the Pro Game of the Week. It's available for download at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Broadcasting that game from the Henry Radio Complex, which is where we are right now. All right, Doug Danger joining us from, well... from his car somewhere between Santa Ana and Newport Beach tonight, where he lives. Doug, how are you tonight?
Real good, Phil.
You got the niece and nephew?
I do. I got my brother's kids, so I'm getting home a little bit late here tonight, but I think they've already cooked some dinner and maybe watch a movie or something. Kids have got some time off because of teacher-parent conferences or something.
Where are the folks?
My brother and his wife are, she's a nurse, and she goes once a year to a conference in Chicago. So I always take the kids. Sometimes the kids, they... have them go with their grandparents, but they want to come over to their uncle's house.
So, Doug, the Emmys were on last night, and they gained another third in viewership. Neil Patrick Harris was the host. Neil Patrick Harris, by the way, a very nice guy and a young man who achieved such success there, albeit, if you will, not very critically acclaimed, but nonetheless great success with this Doogie Howser character. And now, of course, How I Met Your Mother. He's been on stage in Rent and other presentations. He's a guy that's really got the chops as an actor, doesn't he?
Well, I think so, that Neil Patrick Harris. The only problem with Neil Patrick Harris that I see, Phil, is the following. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've spent a lot of time, working my way up through the ranks and fighting my way up through the ranks and fighting the discrimination and fighting the you know, bigotry and segregation and all that other stuff. I'm always wanting to go to the civil rights terms, but I think you know what I mean. Drinking fountains and things like that.
Well, the gay people, there's never been a separation of drinking fountains for gay people.
Well, the only reason why they haven't had that is because how are they supposed to do that? You know, gay people drink here, and you don't want to know who's gay. See, that's the problem. If black folks, if no one knew you were black, then there wouldn't have been no separation of drinking fountains and clothing areas and stuff like that. But that's the unfortunate part of the racial problem in America, is that you knew who was what. And you couldn't say, well, I'm out of the closet. I'm black, but I'm coming out of the closet. So really what gay folks are, what we ask of each other as gay people is really counterproductive in a lot of ways, because what we're saying is, just imagine if it was skin color. Now, a lot of you guys are black, but you're in the closet, and everybody thinks you're white. But we want you to come out black and start being black. Well, who's going to do that? who's going to come out of the closet and say, okay, hi, I'm black, I think I'll start drinking at this drinking fountain here and get my ass kicked in every other way? Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense.
Why not?
Well, they're different problems. I mean, for one thing, what is it that makes a... What would it be that would make a black guy be in the closet?
Skin color.
Yeah, the color of his skin.
The color of his skin?
Yeah. If you're in the closet, no one can see your skin color.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
What? What are you talking about? If you're in the closet, no one can see your skin color.
Imagine, Phil, if there was a closet that could blanket out.
Yeah, if you went into the closet and then you turn white.
Okay, but why wouldn't a black guy... Let me ask you this. If you're black and you could hide being black by going into the closet and then you'd be white, okay?
That's correct, yeah.
What exactly are you repressing then? You're repressing skin color. I understand that. But then what else are you repressing? Robert, you're black. Tell me what you would be repressing by having your skin turn white.
What are you talking about repressing?
I'm talking about, in other words, if you're gay and you go into the closet, that means you're hiding certain, for instance, sexual practices. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean...
Yeah, you're hiding about that you have sex with a guy.
Yeah, you're hiding that. If you're in the closet, you're going to want nobody to know that.
Doesn't mean you're not still having sex with a guy.
It doesn't mean that, but you have to be far more circumspect, if you will. You have to be far more... Look, we got to take a break, okay?
Don't feel like you're always taking a break every time you don't know what you're talking about. And
no, wait a second, man. I know exactly what I'm talking about. We get back, I guarantee you, I'll make it very... I think I have made it clear.
Are you trying to say that you can't go in... If I go into the closet and I'm black, I ain't coming out gay. That's not what you're saying, right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Hold on for just a minute. If we get down that road again, I'm going to start swinging on people.
What are you talking about?
Every time I do something like this, one of you guys tries to purposefully confuse it.
That kind of purposefully confused. You're the guy that said, how do you go in a closet and you're black?
I did say that, yeah. Because if you go into the closet, if you're a black guy, you go into the closet and you're now white. Okay, fine. What's the sweat? What's the big difference? The only thing that's changed is skin color. Am I right or am I wrong? That's why I asked Robert, because he happens to be black, and he would know, and you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. You say, if I go into the closet and I'm black, what am I changing skin color? And you're saying, what else?
Yeah, what else?
I mean, I don't think I'd be near as, I don't think I would be as interesting.
You wouldn't be as interesting. Okay, now there's a place to start, right there. Right there.
What? What are you talking about? You're an idiot.
You're an idiot, man.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. First day back from a vacation. It's a beautiful thing. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the line with me here is, well, actually, nobody on the line with... Yeah, Doug Danger, I'm sorry, is with us here. Doug talking to us from Orange County, California tonight as we continue our discussion on the Emmys last night, although we've gotten into this whole thing on culture, and you're talking about the gay experience in America, the gay person's experience in America, Doug, whether we talk of a gay man or a lesbian. You're talking about Neil Patrick Harris, and then we got around to you, and I was simply saying, aren't you proud of Neil Patrick Harris and what he's achieved as a gay man?
Well, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right, and what I've had to deal with in my life, I've had to eat untold buckets of you-know-what to get to where I am. Neil Patrick Harris is a TV star, and he come up at a time when things were, I think, a little bit easier for gay people. Now, I'm not saying that Neil Patrick Harris hadn't had it easy, but I am saying that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't hear him coming out and saying he's a gay man, gay actor, and I don't blame him. I don't think you can do that and not, gain a lot of resentment there. But I think, at the same time, I'm tired of hearing about this. I'm tired of hearing about how I'm gay and she's gay and he's gay.
Yeah, but what about you? You always say you're gay.
I'm trying to tell you, if you guys will listen to me, that's different. I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because of what it has meant to me in my career in being able to be a better journalist.
And also I'm saying that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because I reserve unto myself the right to have that sort of unique qualification or that unique presentation in order to make myself stand out a little bit more in my career. I'm not a movie star. I'm not a TV actor. You know?
Well, what are you talking about that as some kind of a badge or some kind of a come-on?
What do you mean by a come-on?
Well, when you say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, you're saying, well, I'm using that as a unique presentation because I'm not an actor, because I'm not a movie star, because I don't have the cachet. You're not using the word cachet, but I'm hearing you say that those people have.
Well, to some degree. But what I am saying is, Neil Patrick Harris, he doesn't have to say, hi, I'm Neil Patrick Harris, and I'm a gay man and a gay actor, because everybody knows who he is from Doogie Howser. He didn't have to break too much of a sweat to get to the front of the line, if you will, in Hollywood celebrity status. All he had to do was go on television and play some snot-nosed kid. And I say that with all due respect. He played some snot-nosed kid, a completely unbelievable part, as a 15-year-old doctor. You know, some wunderkind, some guy with a big brain, someone with a head, with a skull that's abnormally large, or not literally, but that's what you would imagine, sitting there with his big skull, and he's 15 years old with a stethoscope. I don't think anybody's going to sit still for a physical exam. I think you're looking for a way out of that office, and you'll go through the air conditioning duct, you'll...
Whoa, hold on. What are you talking about now?
Doug Bob Doogie, how's he having an abnormal skull?
I'm saying if you're 15 and you're that kind of a genius, you got one of those light bulbs shaped heads that the aliens have, right?
Whoa, hold on for a minute. Are you talking about the show he was in?
Yeah, I'm talking about the show he was in.
He didn't have a, what do you mean a light bulb shaped head?
Doogie Howser.
Yeah, what about him?
Doogie Howser didn't have no light bulb shaped head. He was a regular sized kid.
I know he was a regular sized kid. I'm not talking about him not being a regular sized kid. I'm saying if the kid's a 15-year-old wunderkind, a genius, he's a doctor, he's bound to have a head that looks like a squash or something. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he didn't, man. He didn't.
That's why that show was no good. And that's why I think Neil Patrick Harris had a much easier time of it climbing the ladder of fame in Hollywood. Nobody's critically appraising these things he was doing because he was so cute and he was so, he was so interesting because he was gay. He was a gay man and he was a gay freak. You know, I don't know.
You're sounding a little frustrated here.
Well, I am a little frustrated.
About what?
You just said you're all frustrated.
Hey, look, man. Don't even start. If you tell that Dickman to back way the hell off of me, man. Okay. Tell him to back off.
Doug, Bud, don't do it, okay?
You just call me Doug.
I know. Don't do it, Bud. Don't start with the lisping thing.
Yeah, he starts with that lisping thing. I'll hang this phone up. I'll get in my truck, which is already being warmed up out on the driveway, and he knows what that means.
I didn't mean anything by it.
All right.
We don't need to threaten each other. We don't. I mean, this doesn't have to get out of control. I mean, all we're asking about, all I'm asking about, is Neil Patrick Harris. I asked you, are you proud of him? You're having a hard time saying you are because you don't need to know that he's gay. I mean, he is a gay actor who has achieved quite a bit. Perhaps it's nothing to make note of, but it does seem to be something we're doing at this particular juncture in America's history. We are celebrating people who heretofore have not been celebrated, whether they're disabled, whether they're women, whether they're gay, whether they're what have you. We're saying, here is a segment of society that we have cut out of our history up to this point. Well, now we're putting them back into the American historical mural.
Yay! That was fantastic. I like that a lot.
I just came in from, as you know, I was outside. I was smoking a White Owl, Phil. That was absolutely beautiful.
Here.
Thank you. Doug?
All right, well, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not going to brown nose you like the rest of them. I didn't think it was that good.
Well, I'm not asking for you to applaud.
Well, you went, Doug, like you were waiting for me to add by. Okay, here you go. Hey. Oh, man, I'm having an orgasm.
All right, I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you, don't you agree?
I don't think I agree 100%. I think that we're done celebrating all of the minorities in this country. Let's now be a country. Okay, and let's get back to this question that you asked, Robert, or Phil, or whoever asked the question. If I come leaping out of the closet, if I'm black and I went into the closet to be white, okay?
All right, now, this is the one that...
Hold on for a minute, man, because I'm not done. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Now, let's say I'm a black man, and it's inconceivable for me to be a black... Let's say I'm a black gay man and a black gay journalist. That part I can get with, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I go into the closet, I'm neither black or gay. Now I'm what?
You're just white.
Yeah, just a white man and a white man journalist.
Okay, I'm white. All right, now I come out of the closet. Now, I mean, I'm in the closet. That means I can't act gay and I can't act black. Okay?
What do you mean act black? That's the thing.
Well, wait. See, this is the whole thing that I was saying. This is the stupid thing about what you said originally. We go into the closet as a black guy. All right, fine. You go into the closet. Now you're no longer black. Your skin's white. But what else have you repressed?
Ask Robert about that.
Robert?
You want me to ask? Now tell you, I don't have black, and I wouldn't be as interesting.
What do you mean you ain't going to be as interesting? That's vague. You can't be vague.
Take it easy, bud. You're spitting all over me.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? If you go into the closet and you are and you're not black, you're not as interesting anymore. You become a boring white man?
Yeah, pretty much that's it.
All right, I would go with that. Although I do, you know, I'm from the South. I do take a little bit of exception. What do you mean boring white? I mean, on one hand, I do accept that. On the other hand, I feel a little offended by that because that means that I'm not as interesting as a black guy if I was straight. But I'm gay.
You know, you guys get tied up in more bullcrap than I've ever heard in my life. If you would just stick to the point instead of this nonsense...
What nonsense are you talking? He said that...
I know what he said. If he goes into the closet and he's black and now he's white because he's in the closet, and then he comes out of the closet and, you know, you cats make no sense at all. None at all. And this argument about, Robert, you're less interesting. All right, that's fine. I don't want to talk about being in the closet as a black. There's no such thing as being in the closet as a black guy.
No, he said there was, man. I sort of agree with him.
Get out of here. You're not going to go, hi, I'm in the closet. I'm black. I think I'll go in the closet. That way I can pass as white. I'll be less interesting and I'll be white. If I come out of the closet, I'm black and I'm really interesting. Is that it?
That's racist.
That ain't racist, man. That's just my observation. Mr. Henry asked me what I thought about that, and then I thought.
What?
I said you asked me what I think I thought about that, and that's what I thought I think.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with Doug Danger and more on the Emmys, if we ever get to it here, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Good. I just dumped all the coke right all over the top of this copy. That's great.
Nice move.
You're welcome. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com as well, and also online here. I just said philhenryshow.com, and also on the air here across the country on so many great affiliates. Pardon me, folks, while I just dumped the Diet Pepsi off of my news copy.
You're the guy to put it there.
Did I say anybody else did? No, you're right. I'm blaming myself. See, this is why we were told as very young broadcasters, don't bring anything that you drink or can spill into the studio.
That's exactly right.
The only difference is I own all this equipment now, so I guess, you know.
Yeah, you're the guy going to take the hit.
That's right. I am the guy that's going to take the hit, so there you go. Maybe that's what it was all about for me, eventually reaching the point in my career where I owned all this stuff, and so I can do whatever the hell I want to do. One thing I don't do anymore is smoke, so we can... dispense with that.
That really gums up the works, doesn't it?
Cigarette smoke? Oh, yeah. Nicotine, cigarette smoke. It gets into these modules here, and I'll say. I don't want to get too much into that because we have Doug Danger, who is hanging on the line with us here from the Orange County Courier. And we're also talking about the Emmys last night. We also have Cal Wadd on the line from the National Family Council, and Cal has been a longtime contributor on our program. I shouldn't say longtime contributor. He has been a contributor, and we'd like to work him in a little bit more on our program. He's on our newsmaker line right now. Cal, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil.
Tell me what you think of the Emmys last night.
I thought that the Emmys showed once again that American producers and directors, the writers and broadcast executives have no idea what the American people really want to see. I think that if you look at the statistics, viewership and otherwise, demographic and otherwise, you're going to see a significant drop-off in the numbers of people who are watching television. There is no doubt that their audience last night went up, and I think that's more the star factor and the celebrity factor. I don't think it has anything to do with any great love people have for these television shows. The viewership, as I mentioned, is off. The numbers of people are, yes, they're going to Hulu, and they're going to things like YouTube and Netflix. But I think our message is a message that needs to be heard, and we will continue to spread that message.
We have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug, you want to comment?
The first thing I want to say, Cal, is first off, I'm something that you probably don't appreciate, and that's I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't care if you're a gay man and a gay journalist. It doesn't have any. It's not a negative. It has no bearing on what I think. I just think that. You should do your job as a critic.
I am doing my job as a critic, and my job as a critic is to praise these television programs for their quality.
Well, and if you look at the statistics that we have, you will see that the programs that we mark as the programs that are destructive to family interest are programs that do contain high levels of profanity, high levels of adult content, high levels of a negative family message.
Give me an example. I'd like to have an example of these programs that you're talking about.
Well, the programs like The Simpsons, for instance, programs such as Modern Family. I think take a look at any of the Emmy winners last night, and you're going to see programs that are absolutely the kinds of shows that we're talking about. These are the shows that Hollywood is celebrating. You're talking about programs like I can't read my own writing. Here is a program that we found to be very, very destructive. It was, Hawa, Mata. I had to scribble it down.
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother.
You don't know the show that you're criticizing?
How I Met Your Mother. That was the show that Neil Patrick Harris is on. It's not necessarily an Emmy winner. You're just talking about the show that he was on?
Well, yes, I'm talking about any program that was celebrated last night on the... here's another program. This is another program that we've taken great exception to. Homo. Homo? I don't know any program called Homo.
How are you spelling it?
H-O-M-E-L, Homeland.
Yeah, see, you don't even know what program it is you don't like. You just say, if the show... Where'd you get homo out of that?
Where did I get homo out of that? It's H-O-M, and I think any reasonable adult who has a literacy problem, as I do, and I suppose if you want to laugh at that, go ahead. I'll give you a few seconds to laugh at that.
Shut up, bud.
I think that's a pretty good instinct. I think that's a great instinct. But it does not negate the fact that I have a concern for those things.
You may have a concern. I think this is a joke, Phil. This guy has just admitted that he has a problem reading.
Since when do you have to know how to read to watch television?
Well, at least you got to know the name of the show. And you're talking about a program that won an Emmy. Homeland has won multiple Emmys, as a matter of fact. And you thought it was about homos because you can't spell homo. And you can't spell home.
What? Say that again.
Say it again. I said...
There's nothing to say again here, Cal. Homeland. And you thought it said homo. And that's because you don't know how to read. And you are the head of the National Family Council, or whatever the hell this thing is. Let me ask you a question, because I think this is a valid question. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me anything you want.
Okay. Who do you represent again? I mean, you guys come out with these statements.
Well, we represent millions of American parents.
Wait, hold on for a minute. I'm not done asking the question. You come out with all of these statements about how the National Family Council, this and that, and you guys get all of this press as if you represent people. Who do you represent?
I'm trying to tell you that we represent millions of American families. Millions of American parents.
You have a membership role that goes into the millions, or is that just your email list?
Now, Phil, that's a good question. That's just your email list, isn't it?
No, these are active participants in the discussion on the quality of television.
Now, this is Margaret Gray. I'm a mother, so Cal, you have to listen because I think you're evading the question.
If I can finish, I'd be very happy to answer. These are active participants in the dialogue.
When you say active participants, you're saying, are these people that you sent emails to and they returned the email with some comment?
I'm saying that these are people that we have emailed that have requested more information. We have sent out more information.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that these are people engaged.
Excuse me, I'm not done yet. Okay, you're the gay man and the gay journalist, and yet you are keeping me, the parent, from saying what I want to say.
All right, go ahead. Say what you want to say.
I'm also a parent, and you're keeping me from saying what I want to say.
No, I don't think that's the case, Ms. Ray. I think the case is you're keeping me. I know you're a parent, and I'm a parent. The gay has kept both of us.
No, she's not keeping me from saying anything. It's you, Mr. Watt, who is, and by the way, with a name like Watt,
that's the crude way that this man wants to take this conversation, Mr. Henry. I'm not exactly sure I can continue on the phone with you.
All right, let's. If we want to keep the dirty jokes to ourselves, that would be okay with me, Doug. If you don't mind.
Well, I mean, the guy comes on the program here. Hi, my name is Cal Wadd. You know, I didn't say, hi, my name is Cal Wadd.
I didn't say that, did I? Mr. Henry is the one that brought me on the program. I'm the council chairman, the Grand National, the wizard. I'm not the wizard. I'm the Grand Wizard of the... I'm the president.
Are you the Grand Wizard? That's something the Klan Ku Klux, right?
The Ku Klux Klan. Are you? You weren't a former member of the Klan, were you, sir?
No, I was not a former member of the Klan. I'm on a program that is ganging up on me, and I'm having a very difficult time trying to remember what it is I'm trying to say. I am the council president of the National Family Council, and I am...
You're also barely literate.
No, I didn't say I was barely literate. I had a problem with the word home. You said it was homeland. Is that right?
Sir, that's pretty embarrassing. If you are the president of a family council and you can't read the word homeland and you think it says homo, you know?
No, I don't know. No. What do you...
Look, if Phil's saying it, you thought that homeland was about homos because you can't read. That's number one. Number two is that you are the president of... Well, I forget what I was going to say now.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say.
And I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that makes four of us, because I don't know what I'm talking about either.
All right, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take a break. The National Family Council. Oh, I know. We were talking about demographics, bud. Write that down.
Yeah, okay. How do you spell it?
D-E-M-O.
D-E-M-O.
G. You look it up. How do you spell it? We are talking about demographics. We are talking about membership. We are talking about any organization that calls itself the National Family This. You know, Margaret?
Well, that's exactly the point, Phil. If you say that you're the national, if you get headlines as the parent this or the parent that, and put the word parent into any organization's name, and right away, brother, you have got a lot of people that either want to, excuse me for putting this way, hump your leg, okay?
All right.
Well, Phil, don't be a child about it.
Right.
You've got a lot of people that either want to hump your leg, or they want to give you the finger. So it's either the leg...
Yeah, it's either they're going to, you know, hump your leg or they'll finger it.
Or they'll... well...
I understand what you're saying. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this. Really, it's an interesting conversation, I think, and it goes to the... I think it goes to something very, very important, and that is exactly who are these people claiming they represent when they say that they're the national family anything. I think you got to have... I think you got to have some numbers to back that up, don't you? We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com, 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour, we have Steve Bozell and Ted Bell with us, both of them doing the Pro Football Game of the Week on Sunday here on our digital headquarters, philhenryshow.com. We're going to talk to them about Football Week 3. in the National Football League. It was ugly. It was real ugly, and it's probably going to get uglier before it gets prettier. It's probably going to get much, much uglier before it gets more handsomer.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about football, Margaret, okay?
Yeah, talk about football. Why don't you mind your own business?
Is that right here? You see this?
Yeah.
Ow! Yeah. Do that again. You'll get it again.
All right, watch it, will ya?
No. I don't take crap from him. You, yes. But a guy with a plate in his head, no.
God, man, that was dirt. That was a cheap shot.
Really? Hey, Bud, what's that above your head?
I don't know. It's ow!
Did it again.
Take it easy, will you, Margaret? The kid's not that bright.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get you.
You try anything like that, you'll never breathe another breath, free or slave.
Yeah, it won't draw a slave breath either.
You won't draw another breath, free or slave, huh?
Don't play it back, Phil. Don't give me the scrunched up eyes and, what does that mean? You're not the only one that gets to get off the funny ones. Occasionally, I get one off.
That's what she said.
What? You?
Hey, watch it, will you?
Kick his ass.
Take it easy. What is it with you guys? I thought we'd get to the whole show without a fist fight.
Excuse me for a minute. There, that's what I think of you, bud.
How'd she get to do that?
Will you not do that anymore, please? What an embarrassment. I'm on the radio here. I got God knows how many different people. We're trying to get things discussed. On the line with me here is Cal Wadd.
Yeah, and what is that about?
That's what Doug asked. Let's not make a big issue about the guy's name, okay? That's his name. That's his name. I don't know what else you want me to say. Cal Wadd on the line with us here, along with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we continue to discuss last night's Emmys. And we were getting into the idea of demographics. So, Cal, give us the numbers here, man, because I think it's a fair question. You're the National Family Council. You get a lot of publicity every time you make a judgment or you issue a press release concerning a program. You will say, well, the show is this, the show is that. And I always see the name of your organization popping up in at least the first or the second paragraph. And I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, what exactly are you, who exactly are you representing?
Well, Phil, I think it's important to understand, first of all, that if our name, the name of our organization, pops up in the first or second paragraph, I think that indicates that there is a national, a legitimate national platform that we deserve. If the press decide that we are an organization that is worthy of being heard from, I think you get your answer right there.
Phil, this is Doug Danger. Hold on. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
I've known for many, many years, Mr. Danger, that you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I'm reminding everybody that because here's the thing. And I don't have a national platform like you do, all right? And I would dare say that I have more people sending me mail during the week than send your organization mail. I've never heard, and Mr. Henry asked a very good question. You're saying that the very press that you revile, the very mainstream press that you say is too liberal, the very mainstream press that you say gives too much play to these television shows that you say are destructive to the family ethic, you say that very mainstream press legitimizes your organization because they put you in the first two paragraphs of a news story. Now, I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Okay?
I want to say one thing here, and I don't mind you bringing up the fact that you're a journalist or your sexual orientation, but you have dropped the participles, and it now is I'm gay man, I'm gay journalist, and you're fracturing the English language. I won't make it an issue for the National Family Council. This is just one writer to another.
Well, you're a writer. You're a guy that can't even read, but you're a writer.
Yes, I am a writer. I am a writer, okay?
Well, but Doug makes a good point. You said that you can't read. You didn't know. You couldn't read Homeland.
I couldn't read Homeland. And to my knowledge, on the record, that's the only word that we have found that I can't read. All right?
All right, so How I Met Your Mother was not How I Met Your Mothra?
I think what you're doing is despicable.
Did you say that?
Bill, he did, because before we went on the air, he wrote a press release saying that this guy, Doogie Howser, was on How I Met Mothra, and he said now all of a sudden Japanese-made TV show this, that, and you had to be corrected and told that's How I Met Your Mother.
I knew what the program was about, sir. I didn't say Japanese television this or that. I said it drew its inspiration from a Japanese science fiction movie. But I didn't indicate that the Japanese were producing the program.
But the point is, sir, that you could not read the word mother. You thought it said Mothra. And you also thought that Homeland read homo. So you can't read. You've already said that you're borderline literate. And you're the head of this National Family Council. And you're also a writer writing reviews of these. How is it that you can write, but you can't read? I don't understand that.
Well, I think he's got the... I think he has limited... Excuse me, I'll speak for myself if you don't mind, Mr. Danger. All right?
The name is Danger, not Danger. All right? It sounds like either you've got an adenoid problem...
Maybe I have an adenoid problem. Maybe I do have an adenoid problem. What then?
All right, fine.
My point, Mr. Henry, is simply this. I am borderline literate. And that is embarrassing. But I also am literate. So when I say borderline, it doesn't mean that I'm 100% illiterate. It means that I'm partially literate. I'm able to write, but there are some words that I have a hard time getting up on. Now, some of the words I'm getting up real good on, I have a dictionary that I took home with me, and I'm getting up on some of these words real good. I happen to like the band Led Zeppelin, and I looked up Zeppelin in the dictionary, and I was able to practice that word over the weekend. Zeppelin. And I can recognize the word Zeppelin. That may not sound like much to you, but that's a big thing for me. It's a very big thing.
That, and congratulations on that, sir. But that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. When you think that...
You think his name's Doogie Howser. Wow. His name is Neil Patrick Harris.
Mr. Henry knows the guy's name. He made it. He misspoke. Isn't that right, Phil? Phil, ain't that right?
Yes, that's right, but I mean, it doesn't make any difference. We're not talking about the same thing. This is an apples and oranges discussion. Good for you. I'm glad you know what Zeppelin... Oh, man.
Yeah, hold on. Let me... This is Bud Dickman. I'm going to take over here for just a second, Phil.
Well, Bud...
Hold on for a minute. Just go and sit down. Now, Mr. Is the guy's name?
I think his name is Wad.
Yeah, Mr. Wad. Yeah, right. Do you ever know about a guy named Johnny the Wad Home?
Now, look, is this the guy with the plate in his head?
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, I'm not going to answer any questions about Johnny the Wad Holmes because I have had it up to here with those jokes. Now, because my last...
Give me the... I'm sorry, sir. Bud, don't ever take over the microphone again. You understand?
Well, I was just trying to get this thing to move along.
I thank you very much, Mr. Wad. We will agree to disagree.
What a boy, that's a real sissy way out.
Well, that's the way it's going to have to be. Doug, I thank you very much.
Well, I just want to ask you something. Can I?
And, Bud, don't ever move into my chair and push me out of it like that.
Well, you got to get a grip, man.
He's trying to help you get a grip. Oh, was he trying to help me get a grip? Well, I got a grip, okay? I got a real firm, solid grip. All right, anyway, let me just say, Margaret, you're going to say something?
Yes, I think everyone out there, when you hear the name the National Family Council, the first thing you should do is look up on the internet and go to Google, or Google, whatever it is, it's Google, right?
Google.
Go to Google and find out exactly how many people do they really represent. I think you'll find that they don't represent hardly no one. And I'm sorry if that doesn't sound very bright. They hardly represent no one. I don't know.
They hardly represent anybody. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that is a very good point. And they call themselves the National Parent this, the American Family that, the National Family something else. Who are they speaking for, other than the handful of people that man their office there in Washington, D.C.? We don't know. All right, coming back, we have Ted Bell and Steve Bozell on this weekend's football action here. Welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10 Pacific, 10 to 1 on the eastern side of Fangs. And I'm Phil Henry. And again, my apologies to my colleagues. This is just a way of filling time. I don't think anybody missed me, do you think?
Oh, I'm sure they did. I know Valerie did.
Yes, my apologies to my colleagues at the NAB. I was not there last week. For a variety of reasons, a lot of them having to do with just the fact that I knew I was going to the NAB and suddenly I got violently ill, and I'm kidding.
Yeah, you better tell the truth.
I'm telling the truth. I'm kidding. No, I did. I got violently ill, you know, and then I got a flu shot, and then I really got violently ill. I would be very careful. Not that I'm going to stop getting flu shots. I got to get flu shots because I got to get them because I was on my back in the hospital because I had the flu and pneumonia like 3 years ago, and I can't go through that again. So I went, I got a flu shot, and I got sick anyway. That's pretty weird, and that's not what you really want to have happen, but it happened, and I'm man enough to take it.
I understand. Now, how did you get sick from that?
Because the flu shot contains elements of the very virus that you are seeking to gain immunity from. Therefore...
Well...
I'm not done. I'm explaining it, Phil. You don't have to.
Sorry.
Therefore, when you get a flu shot, you're basically getting inoculated. Do you know what that means, Robert?
I know.
What?
You're getting, well...
You don't know. All right. It means you're getting a shot that you are getting knocked, well...
Yeah?
Did I say knocked up? You've got this look on your face like, oh, well, I can't wait to see her get out of this one.
Well, what does it mean, Margaret?
I'm saying, when you get in... Never mind.
When you get a shot, you're getting the vaccine, you're getting the...
You're getting the virus, and that means you get the virus, that means you get sick, but you're getting an immunity to it. There, are you happy?
Yes, I'm very happy. So that's what it is. That's why I got sick. But it's worth it, man, because, you know, I go through 24 hours of that before I go through... I can't stand that, man. I can't stand getting, like, 2-3 weeks knocked out of your life because of that stinking, rotten, freaking ding-dang-dang-ding-dang-it flu. All right. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. It is home of the... This is the home of the... I was going to say home of the all-day salad bar. That's not... It's the home of the backstage pass. And when you get the backstage pass... if you'll pardon the expression, you get yourself a pass to a world of fun at philhendryshow.com. We have all kinds of downloads for you. We have all kinds of radio shows. We have all kinds of episodes and webisodes. And we have our news feed, and we have our comment section, and we have our things like the Pro Football Game of the Week. And that's the very thing that I want to talk to you about right now. Yeah. Ted Bell and Steve Bozell both joining us here at Phil Hendry Show. At the Phil Hendry Show. Ted.
Ted Bell here for the Ted's Beverly Hills, and yes, we were on the air yesterday with our football game of the weekend. I got Steve Bozell with me here, and we're going to talk a little football, talk a little of the National Football League, right, Steve?
Yeah, I want to, if I could, hold on.
We're going to have to find a way to mix that better. Bud Dickman, my engineer, we do have some, we have a little bit of a mixing problem coming in from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You got drowned out a little bit there, Ted, by the jingle.
If we can close the door around here or something, somebody close the door. Close the bathroom door. The first thing you want to do, Marilyn, hold on, Phil. Marilyn, close the bathroom door. Close the door to the ladies' room. Yes, that, the one that says ladies on it. Good. You know, Phil, thank you very much, Phil. It's good to be with you. I'm asking my hostess to close the bathroom door to the woman's room. I'm looking at women sitting on toilets. Close the bathroom.
Yeah, I'll do it, Ted. Just close that the door right here, see? Well, I can see a lady. And, yeah, yes, ma'am, I see a lady right now. She's sitting on the toilet right there. Well, I can see her.
See, as plain as day. You can see women sitting on toilets. Close the door.
Phil, I got to call you back.
What? Hold on, Ted. We're on the air.
I'm sorry. I got to call you back. I got to get this hostess of mine. She's got the brains. What do you got the brains of a... Somebody call the zoo.
What the hell was that?
I don't know, but they've got a new hostess over there, Marilyn is her name, or something, and apparently she's not the sharpest bulb in the drawer, or the brightest knife in the drawer, or something.
She's not the brightest bulb on the drawer.
She's not the brightest bulb in the tree, you mean?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, she can't be that bright, because he's been telling her ever since he got on the air to close the bathroom door to the ladies' room at Ted's?
Yes.
All right, folks, I apologize. We will have them back shortly while they figure out how to close the ladies' room door there. The guys are going to talk football. Are they back?
Well, no, but I just thought I'd...
You thought you'd do what?
I thought if I hit the jingle, they'd be back.
Well, but it ain't magic, man, when you play the... Is he there?
No.
Oh, how about that?
Bud, what did you think? It was magic?
It's not magic, Bud. You hit the jingle and suddenly Ted appears. What do you think this is, the genie in a bottle?
Man, you're an idiot, man.
No, you are an idiot. You are, Bud. All right, so in any event, Jesus, so you hit the jingle and you think Ted's just going to poof, there he is, huh?
I thought I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, you know what I ought to give a shot to? I ought to give... Oh, man.
Well, you know, you laugh, and then he thinks he's funny.
No, he doesn't. He knows that I'm very disappointed in him. Very disappointed in you.
I ain't do anything. I didn't try to get Ted to get on.
You ain't gonna do it by playing his jingle. Okay? Now what? You think he's gonna appear again?
No, he's on the phone.
Oh, he's on the phone. All right, so get Ted on the phone. All right, Ted.
Everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are located, of course, in Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something. We have got great steaks. We've got a great prime rib. We've got great drinks, the Ted. And we've got football, that's right, all season long in our treasure room.
What? I can't hear that, man.
Yeah, Phil, again, we are having a... we got a very busy night here, Phil. We are located in the prime rib room, Phil, and this is where we generally have a lot of the games that we have on our big screen. We've got three big screen TVs here in the prime rib room, and we are generally got a great buffet here. We've got hot dogs, hamburgers. I don't know what these people eat. You know, it's nothing that I would eat. It's nothing that I'd go near. But it's the kind of food that football fans like, and we have it every Sunday, and we have it tonight, Monday night. We had it for Monday night football. We have it for Thursday night football. We've got it if they ever have Saturday night football. We have it on Sunday night football. We have it on the Sunday afternoon game. And, of course, all the Teds of Beverly Hills, all over the United States. As you know, Phil, we have one in Washington, D.C. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills here in Beverly Hills. And the one in Walnut Creek went belly up. The one in Miami Beach is opening in 2014. So,
I thought that was opening this year.
Yeah, you said it's going to open this year.
Well, guess what? No, it ain't. God.
I'm sorry.
No, the guy, Dickman. You didn't get open this year.
You did. You said it's going to open this year. And I could be the chef.
I didn't say you could be the chef. I said you could be one of the... You could be one of our greeters, you know.
Did you promise him a job as a greeter?
Yeah, why not? People know the kid. Anyway, Phil, yeah, we have all of that and more in our prime rib room at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted Bell with us. And, Ted, you and Steve both week two of our pro football game of the week. And tell me a little bit about it. How was it?
Well, Phil, it's Steve Bozell, and I will tell you this, it was not too much of what I thought it would be. You know, I thought it was definitely going to be a San Francisco victory. I thought San Francisco would come out, and defensively, I thought they would hold the line there against the Indianapolis Colts, but Indianapolis was able to take advantage far more of San Francisco. Their wide receivers was able to get in the seam. And what do you mean by seam? This is Ted Bell. What do you mean by seam? See, you use all these big words. That's not a big word. You try to get in the seam of the zone, and that's exactly what them receivers was doing.
No, I agree with Steve. I was watching the game, and they were. At least I'll say that Andrew Luck was finding those receivers in between zones, it looked like. And he was making far more of the pinpoint passes than Kaepernick was.
Well, that's just Andrew Luck, in my opinion, showed himself to be a far more opportunistic quarterback, far better at throwing the football under pressure. Kaepernick, of course, never really had a lot of good protection yesterday. Kaepernick was constantly being rushed. He got some big rushes from the outside, from Robert Mathis, and from that right end Freeman or Fooney, or I forget his name.
By the way, I wanted to ask you, Ted, this, and that was thank you for that analysis, Steve. Your tendency to just make names up, what's that about?
Well, I mean, I said that I would do these games, but only if I could just make names up. I didn't want to have to study the program and learn all these names and numbers. I don't have the time, okay? Phil, because I'm running a restaurant, I don't get out of the restaurant till 4 o'clock in the morning. You guys want me to do this 1:30 game. I got to shag my rear end all the way up to this Henry Broadcast Center, which is up the coast a couple of miles. I sit down, and Bozell and I do these games. Now, I don't have the time to go through a program, so I make names up until I'm familiar with the...
But here's the reason why I ask. Yesterday, and we had a few people writing us email, yesterday you were identifying Ahmad Bradshaw as Tommy Tatupu and Hooman Hillman and Hillman... Who was that?
What are you talking about, Hooman Hillman? I think you might be talking about Ike Hilton as a tight end or something like that.
Oh,
Oh, I know Hoonman Hillman, but Tommy Tatupu, yeah, that was the name I gave that guy, Ahmad Bradshaw. When I found out what Ahmad Bradshaw's name was, then I started calling him, please do it, because I am, yeah, he's a little nervous. He started calling him Ahmad Bradshaw in the second half, but that's way better than in the first quarter. He said he was a fullback. That's right. I thought he was a fullback because he's built like a fullback. But look, the more important thing, Phil, that I think the fans should understand when they're listening to us doing these games of the week is that I'm telling you who has the ball. I think I got that right. Right?
Yeah, you have that part right.
Oh, good. Okay. And I'm also telling people how far the ball is being advanced, and I'm telling people who has the ball, and I'm telling people who is scoring. And I'm making comment along with my good friend Steve Ozell on who the individuals are that is doing a good job. So.
All right, hold the line here. We're going to take a break. Ted Bell and Steve Ozell on the line with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills as they discuss with us the. By the way, have we broken for the first break or not?
No.
We have not. Okay, I didn't think we had. We do need to break. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes, we do need to break. I just talked to CJ.
Great. I just talked to CJ, too. Thank you, CJ.
Well, I also... Never mind.
Okay, so we're going to break. And we'll be right back with Ted Bell, Steve Bozell. And they're giving us the lowdown here, man, on just exactly how it all went down yesterday for our Game of the Week on PhilHenryShow.com. And you guys can follow it at PhilHenryShow.com with a backstage pass. 1:30 every Sunday afternoon. Back with Steve Bell, Ted Bell, Steve Bozell, and Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in a moment. On the Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. We got Ted Bell and Steve Bozell live with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking about the NFL and exactly how things went yesterday in the game of the week.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Go on down to Ted's of Beverly. Hey, listen, if you're not joining me and Steve Bozell for the game of the week on the PhilHenryShow.com, then you are a loser. And of course, I say that with all love in my heart.
Here
at Ted's. They never give me enough time.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Okay, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell at Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. So we were discussing, the ball game yesterday. And Steve, you were talking about the protection that. What were we talking about?
I don't know what we were talking. Boy, oh boy, Henry.
What do you mean, boy, oh boy, Henry?
I think I remember. Hold on for a minute. You should be keeping track of what you're asking us because we're in the middle of a.
I'm keeping track of what I'm asking you guys about yesterday's game.
Well, yeah, I know that, but when you say I forget, it sounds like you're bored to tears. We worked our rear ends off on that game, didn't we, Steve?
I know I did, but...
Well, I did, too.
Yeah, you did, but... Yes, you did. No, I'm just joking around. Yeah, he worked real hard. I think we all worked hard, but the question you was asking, Phil, and here's the reason why, and I've been giving Ted a hard time about this for a long time. I said, why don't you just learn the names of the players?
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. You were asking me why I don't know the names of the players, and I told you, because I'm not getting my rear end out of bed any earlier than when I'm getting it out of bed, and I if I learn the names of the players, fine. If I don't, I don't.
All right, fine. I won't make a federal case out of it, but when you're calling players something like Billy Bababa, and you're just making up... The Denver-New York Giant game, you had cats Louis Bugudu. You were doing all kinds of...
Yeah, I was giving them Polynesian names, so what?
One of the things, Bill, we found out about was a lot of the NFL players, you know, come from the Polynesia area, you know.
Okay, fine. So they come from Polynesia. A lot of them come from the United States.
A lot of them come from the okay, but the ones that come from Polynesia, if in other words, if I tend to make up a name that sounds Polynesian, it's credible and it is believable because you got a lot of them that come from Sambua or whatever the hell these places are called. I don't know what are the names of these. There's Pitcairn's Island and all of them, you know.
Pitcairn's Island.
Yeah, what is it? Give me a name of an island. Sambuco or. What about Boom? Isn't there a Bongo Bongo or something?
Are you guys talking about like Samoa and...
Yeah, that's it, Samoa.
All right, Samoa. There's a lot of players from Samoa. There's a lot of players from Hawaii. You know, there are South Pacific and Polynesian football players. Yes, you're right.
Well, there was
a guy, I remember the guy that pulled his towel off and showed his thing to that reporter. What was his name? Mosey Tatupu? Wasn't that guy?
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing to say, but that's not representative of all Polynesian players, okay?
No, I'm not saying, but that's the thing that I remember.
He was a running back for the Patriots, yeah. And there's been a lot of guys down through the years who have played in the NFL who are from the South Pacific, from Polynesia, from Micronesia, and that's as it, you know, is. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say about that. We're with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell as we talk about the NFL football game that they do for us, the game of the week. Yesterday's game, the Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers. Ted, what about that ball game was surprising to you?
Well, I think what surprised myself and Steve was the fact that the Indianapolis Colts come into the Candlestick Park, and they come into the home stadium of the San Francisco 49ers, the vaunted San Francisco 49ers. So let's remember, Phil, are on a resurgence. And when the San Francisco 49ers get into a groove, there is no group of fans anywhere in the National Football League that feel more entitled and I think can put a fair level of intimidation on a visiting team when you walk into that place, that Candlestick Park. That's the home of Joe Montana. That's the home of the catch, Joe Montana to Dwight Clark. That's the place where Roger Craig used to break him off. That's the place where Steve Young used to do the thing that he did.
Steve Young, when he did it.
I've been hanging around Bozell so long I can't even. You're talking about illiterate. I'm kidding, Steve. But I mean, not really. No, not really, but I am trying to be polite. But the point that I'm making here, Phil, you know, you've got football teams coming into, and what I found to be interesting in yesterday's game was that the Indianapolis Colts came into that football stadium, and they couldn't have cared less. They were not impressed at all. Chuck Pagano, a guy who last year had one foot in the grave. Let's be honest. This guy had leukemia.
Yeah, what was it with Pagano? He came back last year after a very serious bout with cancer, right?
Yeah, he had leukemia. He had blood cancer. Think about it, man. I mean, that's the very disease that inspired Anne Rice to write Interview with a Vampire. Okay?
Why do you say it like that?
Okay, this is great. Bozell gets scared. You scared of vampires?
Come on, will you?
Sorry. But in any event, Bozell does. Every time I say that, I say, hey, Pagano had the disease that inspired Anne Rice to write Interview with a Vampire. And he goes, woo! Anyway, Phil, my point is this, that the Indianapolis Colts were not impressed. They came in, they picked apart. This kid, Andrew Luck, I got to tell you, I was not a believer. I thought the kid was arrogant. I thought he thought his stuff didn't smell. I didn't like him at all. As you know, that's the way we are with all rookies that come into the league very highly touted. But I'm here to tell you that this kid, Andrew Luck, is everything and that and more. And Peyton Manning's doing great in Denver. No question about that. But how did he do tonight, by the way? I don't have the result of that game.
We'll have to look that up. I don't know what the... Bud, can you...
Yeah, I'm going to find out that right now. Me too.
What did he say?
I don't know. Just find out the score of the game. They're playing the Raiders tonight. So the Colts came in and showed no respect.
Oh, no, it wasn't that they were disrespectful. It's that they showed no fear. And that was the thing that I was very impressed with. Bradshaw ran like a madman. The defensive line put pressure on Kaepernick. Andrew Luck was finding his receivers. Reggie Wayne had a hell of a ball game. That other guy, that Haywood Bay, that guy was a beautiful thing. Everything was working as it should. Adam Vinatieri made a couple of field goals. So you can't fault this football team at all. They were ready. They played well. And I think Chuck Pagano had a... I think this guy's going to win another Super Bowl for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean Colts.
All right, let's take a break. Ted Bell and Steve Bozell with us here on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about yesterday's ball game, and we'll get into some of these other games that happened around the National Football League, and some of it was pretty freaking ugly, man. The Giants getting their ass handed to them by the Carolina Panthers. You had the Dallas Cowboys beating the St. Louis Rams.
What about the Rams coming back to Los? I want to know about the Rams coming back to Los Angeles.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they ought to do.
All right, well, we'll find out. Yeah, the Rams coming back to L. I doubt if that's going to happen. Who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened. No, stranger things have not happened. Nothing like that has ever happened. I shouldn't say stranger things have happened because...
Well, has any team ever left and then come back?
Yeah, the Raiders. The Raiders left Oakland, came down to L.A., and then went back. But they weren't gone that long. World famous Phil Hendry Show and PhilHendryShow.com, 855-500-7445. world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Backstage Pass gives you access to every show every night as a video cast. Also, our podcast the following day. Also, our classic podcast. Also, 5,000 hours and growing of a archive, a radio show archive, second to none. And all with a Backstage Pass that is El Cheapo, man. It's just, it's so affordable. And with the economic times the way they are, I'd like to say that the Phil Henry Show has taken the lead in taking the pressure off of Mr. and Mrs. America and making our radio show as accessible and as affordable as possible. Yes, the behind the scenes of our video cast showing me using four-letter words, cursing and swearing the very day I was born, and the fact that I'm in the radio industry is worth it.
You know, you're not doing yourself any favors, Phil, because there could be some movers and shakers and heavyweights and big, big, big names that are listening to you talking about this industry the way you are right now.
Yeah, yeah, watch out, Mr. Henry.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Roosevelt.
Welt, you know, your sarcasm really...
I'm being sarcastic. On the line is Ted Bell, along with Steve Bozell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to be getting back to discussing with them some of the other games that were happening. We're just talking a little bit about the NFL this past weekend. And I'm just checking out... the game that I saw that made me want to just pitch my guts up was the, I believe it was the San Diego, who the hell did they lose to, man? San Diego lost to somebody. I'll get Ted on the line. And then the other thing I want you to find out for me, bud, who the hell won the Denver-Oakland game tonight?
Yeah, man, supposed to look that up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, get on it, will you? Because not that I'm interested.
Yeah, all right, so we'll... Yeah, get on it, will you? All right, dispense with the jingle. I think we don't need to hear the jingle unless Ted really wants to hear the jingle. Ted, it's Phil.
Yes, I do want to hear the jingle because I paid top dollar for that jingle, so if you don't mind.
Okay, bud, dispense with looking for the score of the game and get me the jingle, the Ted's Beverly Hills jingle, if you don't mind.
Do you want to look for the score of the game?
Dispense with looking for the score of the game and get me the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle, if you don't mind, okay?
All right, so you want me to do that?
Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Ted, are you there?
Ted,
you there?
Yeah, right here, right? Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have got the prime rib room rocking every Sunday afternoon for National Football League action. Myself, Steve Bozell, we call the game. You listen to game. You go when you have eat, then you sit down, you listen.
Okay. Thank you very much. So Ted Bell and Steve Bozell. While Bud is rummaging around looking for the scores of football games, let's talk about the New York Giants. You guys saw them last week. You did the game, the Giant and Denver game. So the question that I have for you is, what about that New York Giant football team? What's up with them?
Well, you know, I don't know if you want to go, Steve. Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts. I'll do it. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. You want me to talk? Actually, I should. Phil, I would say, and this is just the first glance of watching the game last week and then hearing, as I heard, just before going on the air with the Indianapolis-San Francisco game, I heard what happened to the Giants, and I think you said it very well. Throwing my guts up, you bet. It was a pretty ugly situation. I would say that Eli Manning is not the problem on that football team. I think that what's happening is that Manning is having a difficult time getting the ball to receivers that are not where they should be. I am loath to criticize a Manning. It'll be a long time before I criticize any Manning. And that includes anyone named Manning who doesn't play football. That's how enamored I am of that, family. Now, we did see last week the battle of the Mannings, Peyton and Eli. And I think probably there was a pounding that Eli took psychologically. I don't know. I'll have to see the highlights. But I think there's more wrong with the New York Giants than their quarterback. And I think Eli Manning has a lot more great football left in him than what we saw on that particular day.
All right, here's the game. The Chargers losing in the final 15 seconds to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that game, absolutely, was a game that you wanted to just... take your guts and you wanted to reach down in your own throat and pull your lunch out. You didn't want to throw it up, you just wanted to manually get rid of it. That's how I felt about that. Steve, I know you had some thoughts.
Well, yeah, I mean, I better do it.
Why do you keep interrupting him?
All right, go. Thank you very much, Phil. You know, Ted, I mean, I think you're a great man, and but you know,
we don't need to keep. You don't need to keep licking my one. You know, one of my buttocks. Just.
I'm not licking your buttocks. I'm just saying, would you let me say something? Because I drive all the way over here to Ted of Beverly Hills.
They called Ted of.
Let him finish.
Yeah, I drive all the way over here. So, Phil, the San Diego Chargers continue to have problems that we just, no one can figure it out. No one can understand it. The Chargers are now 0-2. Tennessee goes to 2-1. That doesn't make any sense. How can they be?
Chargers are 1-2.
Oh, okay, 1-2. I thought it said 0-2. I was going to say that don't make no sense. And
well, it would make sense if they'd had a bye week.
Yeah, what we bye week. That's what they mean, a week off, right? Yeah, that's what they mean by a week off. I don't know why they call it a bye week. It ain't B-I, okay? All right. It's B-Y-E, as in bye-bye. Yeah, isn't that what that means, Phil?
As in bye-bye? No, I don't think bye necessarily means bye-bye. I mean, it means you're going. I don't know. I mean, maybe it does.
Are you kidding me? Are we adults or aren't we? What does bye week mean? Well, if it's spelled B-Y-E, it must mean bye. There ain't no game bye, so what does that mean? So I'm saying bye to the team that's not playing?
Look, before we get into an even more juvenile discussion than what could possibly be a very juvenile reason for the word bye, can we look it up first? Do you mind?
Bye? God, what a... You don't have to be a D word.
A D word, okay. Before we get back to your analysis, gentlemen, I do want to find out from my good, deep, close, personal friend here, Bud Dickman, the final score on that bloody game, man. What was the final score on the damn Raider and Bronco game? Okay, do you mind?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to find it, showing it right here, but I don't know.
What was the final score in the game? Are you guys crazy or something, man? If you don't find out the score of that game, I'm going to commit homicide right here and right now. 37-21 Broncos. Thank you.
See, I told you.
No, you didn't tell me. I had to look it up.
I feel I got the score on that Bronco game. 37.
I got it already. Thank you. So the Broncos are on a they're on a roll, man. Where are they at now? Are they 3-0? What's the deal with them?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. I think that it's going to be a cold day in hell before anybody tells the Denver Broncos that they don't have a right to consider themselves to be the big boy on the block, the daddy, if you will, the master, the sandblaster of the AFC West. These guys are brutal. And I think, you know, with all due respect, what they did to the Raiders, not that they're playing a football team that's all that great, but you got to understand something. The Broncos went out to a 27-7 lead over the Raiders in the first half.
You're kidding.
Would I kid you? No, not at all. Would I crap? You know, you're my favorite turd. Would I kid you? You're my favorite turd. No, it doesn't go like that. It goes.
Never mind how that goes, okay? We're wasting time here, man.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry we're wasting time. Phil, what else you got? You got something else you want to do?
Yeah, like a radio show, the rest of my show. Call him back, and I want him back on the air. That guy owes me another minute.
What do you do?
Well, what do you think he did? He hung up. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Don't ever do that again, okay?
Well, you're giving me all kinds of a heart. You do. Phil, I think he should have turned it over to me a lot sooner.
I think I agree with that, Steve.
Just to give you the lowdown, Phil, Ted was right. The Broncos went out to a big lead, 27-7. I don't think they ever looked back in that game. I don't think they ever looked, you know, they didn't look bad. They looked very comfortable, and they looked very stylish. Everything about them just looked good and sweet and well done, you know. So the Broncos, yeah, they're the bad boys on the block. Now, getting back to the game you were talking about, San Diego and the Tennessee Titans, I just think, and San Diego's playing on the road, I just think San Diego, they ain't showed me nothing. San Diego hadn't shown me anything for years and years and years and years, you know. The last time San Diego had a football team anybody liked was when they had that guy Bobby Ross, and Bobby Ross couldn't get out of San Diego fast enough. That guy won them a Super Bowl, and he lasted, what, another year? Now's it. You know, San Diego Charger organization
is so intent on being a great organization that they keep shooting themselves in the foot. They keep making every bad decision. They can't, I mean, I don't know what them people down there think they're George Steinbrenner Jr. or what it is. They keep changing coach here. And they always, I don't mind them changing coaches, but the changing coaches, they go even to a worse coach than the coach they changed that they wanted to change the choke a chicken. Shoot. I'm sorry. You're going too fast. I'm sorry, Phil.
Go, just slow down.
The San Diego Chargers are changing, and the San Diego Chargers are choking a chicken. You know, you got to knock that off, okay?
All right, I get it. They're changing coaches so often that they're going from one inferior coach to another. And that may well be right. The coach they've got now, they think very highly of, and so it goes. But we'll see. Any other games you guys want to comment on?
Well, I want to comment on these Detroit and the Washington Redskins. Oh my God! Oh my God! You know, this is a football team that had great promise, and the talk of the city last year with Griffin the Third and all that, and RG the Three, and you know. People cannot. I think the minute you hang a label like that on a guy and you turn him into some kind of a superhero, you are setting that guy up for some kind of just a major, major, colossal crash. And I think that's what happened to that poor young man, RG3. They give him that nickname. He sounds like a GoBot. He sounds like some kind of a transformer. And all they've done is set him off to be pushed off the highest floor of the Chrysler building and go plummeting headfirst to the cement below. And that's how I feel about it. Take the ball.
Okay, are you leaving?
Yeah.
All right, he's leaving, Phil, and that's about all we got for tonight.
All right, well, thank you, Steve Bozell and Ted, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Phil, thank you. And also, just want to thank everybody at the Corona Men's Club, my daughter, April Jr., my wife, April, my son, Steve Jr., my dog, April Steve Jr. I don't. You know, we don't even have a name for our dog. Oh yeah, my dog's name is Wonderlad. Yeah, that was our the name of the cat.
What's the name of your dog?
Wonderlad. And I want to say goodnight to Wonderlad, and I want to say goodnight to Wonderlad too. That's the cat. So get off the phone, will you?
What did he say?
He said the name of the cat is Wonderlad too, and the dog is Wonderlad. It's a weird family, folks. It's more than I can even discuss. All right, so thanks a lot, guys. Very interesting breakdown of yesterday's football action in the National Football League, and I can only say that it was one of those very interesting afternoons, and one that makes it very, very worth being a football fan. Sort of. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And we'll be back to wrap up in just a moment. Hey, philhenryshow.com and the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 to 10 West, 10 to 1 East. Very happy to be with you. We again thank Ted Bell and Steve Bozell for their interesting analyzation, as Jesse the Body Ventura would say.
Boy, you never miss a chance to put that poor man down.
Oh, give me a break with that poor man. That's what he said one time.
Yeah, y'all goes analization.
He didn't say analization. He said analysisation. I don't know what he said.
Why would you defend him?
It's not his politics. I just think he is a former governor and deserves respect.
Yeah, you probably have a heart for him.
Yeah.
Hey, watch it.
Hot for that. The guy's got a dent in his head, hello. And I'm married.
Well, so he's got a dent in his head. Obviously, he's got a wife. Somebody finds him attractive.
Well, isn't that great, Phil? As the saying goes, there's someone for everyone, so...
Someone for everyone?
Yes, even you, bud, with the...
Yeah, you got a beautiful girlfriend, man.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's okay. Have you ever seen his girlfriend?
Yes, I have. She's beautiful. And how you rate that?
Well, three guesses.
Yeah, the first two don't count.
You are a crude, rude, lewd piece of...
Watch out now. You two guys, man, I'm telling you.
No, he starts it.
You're going to hit me. That's against against discrimination of people with a handicap.
What?
No, Bud, stop using that, okay? American with Disabilities Act, is that what you're using? You see, and every time she wants to smack you because you got a plate in your head?
Yeah.
Well, then watch it with the smart mouth, okay? And that three guesses, the first two don't count. That stuff, it's very leading, okay?
It's double entendre.
What?
Double, never mind. All right, so that was thrilling. That was exciting. We really appreciate that.
Tell us a little bit about your... You didn't say anything about your vacation at all.
Well, I mean, it was a fine vacation. I didn't really do anything. I mean, I did the one thing that I guess when you get to my age, I don't know, man. I was sleeping like a son. I was sleeping a lot because of that stinking flu shot, you know? But, you know, we're very fortunate here at the El Pacifico. We're here at the broadcast center because we live only about a block and a half, two blocks from the sand. So, as my, and I will say, my accountant has said to me many times, Phil, you live at the beach. Why are you taking these vacations? You spendthrift slob. And I'll say to him, is your bill getting paid? Yes. Okay, well, then I'll just go ahead and... But no, the guy that I got, he will... So it's not even worth it.
Now, I want to get this straight. So you avoid treating yourself well because you don't want to get yelled at by an accountant? Woo! No guts.
Yeah, you got to grow a pair.
Hey, wait a second. The whole reason why you hire a guy like that is so he can read the riot act to you. What the hell, man? You think you just got a guy who's a bean counter? I don't want that. I want a guy that's going to tell me what's up, you know? And so that's what he's saying, you know. That's a tough thing. Just because you own a business, so in any... I'm not going to get into a whole big, long thing. So I stayed home. It was very beautiful. Thank God the sun's finally coming out. I don't give a damn if it is September going into October. The sun's finally coming out down here at the land of sea lions and fog, the El Pacifico. So I didn't do a whole holy hell of a lot but sit on my ass and watch cartoons. I don't watch cartoons. I watch a lot of movies, and I watch a lot of TV. But one of the things that I am divorcing myself from, and I really recommend that people do this. I'm serious about this. I think that you should pay attention to news about your own district where you live, but the rest of it, ignore. I think that this would be a healthy thing for the American people. I think that, ladies and gentlemen, the American people, this is going to be crazy, you got to ignore the news because it ain't doing us any good paying attention to the news, you see? We got all kinds of people that pay so much attention to the news, they've got all kinds of wild ideas about what's going on in this country. I think if we stop watching the news, I think it would actually be a good thing.
Well, why is... I don't understand. Why is that?
Because there's people that are obsessing over every news story coming out of either Washington or, you know, the international scene, and nobody's getting smarter. Everybody's getting dumber about it. That's what it seems like to me. So I think that... I saw a guy, for instance, some guy today... I won't even go into it. I'll just say Facebook.
Well, there you go.
I know.
You know something? You got to get off of Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I have a fan page.
Wait, and the Margaret Gray fan page, people can go to that, right?
Yes, they can go to it if they want. It's fine. I've got a total of 345 followers, which I think is an absolute disgrace. I think Facebook is a whole lot of nothing. And I went on there, and I always post my set list. And by the way, I was at the brew room. I was at the Salon and Brew Room this past weekend in Brea, California, and we had about 8 people show up. So if you're trying to tell me that Facebook is some place where you're going to get a lot of fans, you can kiss my...
Well,
watch it.
No, you watch it.
Well, you're the... Kiss my what?
None of your business.
Well, Margaret, you know, you got to be nicer, too, because you're on Facebook ripping people an ass.
What are you talking about?
I saw the one post that said, I feel like kicking somebody's ass.
Man, you ain't gonna get no fan like that.
What are you laughing at?
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. You're asking why you don't have any fans, and she's got a post there that says, I feel like... Excuse my language.
Yeah, I saw it. Excuse my language. I feel like kicking someone's ass.
So, that's how I felt. Aren't you supposed to post what you're feeling?
Not necessarily, no. Especially if you're talking to fans of yours. So, pardon my language, but I feel like kicking someone's ass. That's Margaret on her fan page. So, I don't know, you know. But I'm sure that people, once they get wind of the fact that you're out and you're performing, they'll want to come out and hear you sing. What were some of the songs that you did?
I did a beautiful song called I Wish You Were Me.
What?
Don't give me the look like that, bud.
What's that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean?
What does that mean, I wish you were me?
It's a beautiful, it goes like this. Do two, one, two, three. I wish you were me. I wish we were three. I wish, I do, 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 do. See? And then do, and then I had Humphrey Sorton on the, I forget who I had on the keyboard. He was on the Casio 1000. And he made it sound like it was just, you know, what is that music? It's.
We got to break. We got to get out of the show.
We got to get out of the show. So you butcher up.
Margaret will finish this song tomorrow night. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Margaret, Robert Leonard, and Bud and CJ. All of you, a God bless from the El Pacifico.